It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
We've been studying the book of John in chapter 8, and as we've looked at that, Jesus did not refuse anyone who wanted to come to him as Savior. Even these scribes and Pharisees who were trying to trick him and to prove that he was not of God, even these people Jesus was willing to save. Well, we've read many verses here now, and I want to look at verse 27 again. And it says, they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. They didn't realize that Jesus Christ was actually representing God the Father. They didn't actually believe that he was representing the God of heaven. And verse 28, then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, well, who was the Son of Man? Jesus Christ. When you've lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Do you want to be able to speak right? Do you want to say things that are right? Then you need to, first of all, be saved. And then, as a saved person, you need to be able to speak with the authority that God has given you and I as saved people. We need to speak with authority because God has said we have the authority to speak for him. And we actually get words from the Word of God that we need to be giving to the people of this world. Well, notice in verse 29, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Jesus Christ did the things that God the Father wanted him to do. He wanted to please God the Father. Well, you and I need to be pleasing the Lord as well. We need to listen to him and let him lead us and guide us. And we need to be speaking for him, speaking of him, and speaking of God the Father that sent Jesus into the world. And I remind you that just as God sent Jesus into this world, Jesus has sent us into this world as well as his ambassadors. He gave marching orders to us. He said, go into all the world and preach and teach the gospel, baptizing them. We're to preach the gospel, and we're to tell people how to be saved. We're to teach the people. We're to show them the way of life, and that way of life is through Jesus Christ. And after they've received him as Savior, then they're to be baptized. We're to train them, help them to understand that this is an ordinance that God has given us, that we are to be baptized because it does show the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection. You're standing in that water, you're standing up, and that's a representation of the crucifixion of Christ. And then you go into that, what's called the watery grave. You're placed, you're submerged into that water, and then that is a representation of his burial. You come up out of that water, and that is a representation of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to walk in newness of life. Well, Jesus has given us the marching orders that we are to go forth, preach, teach, and then baptize, training people as to what they need to be doing as saved people. Well, notice here once again, verse 29, and he that sent me is with me, Jesus said, the Father hath not left me alone. And once again, God does not leave us alone once we're saved. We're saved and on our way to heaven. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ, according to Romans chapter 8. Jesus finishes that verse. Verse 29 says, for I do always those things that please him, that please the Father in heaven, in other words. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Jesus did not waste time. He did not cut corners. It made no difference where he was at. He would give out the plan of salvation. Who is the plan of salvation? He's the plan of salvation. He is the one that saves. Verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. This is important. Now listen carefully. Jesus said to those people, to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There's many people going about today just wringing their hands. They're afraid. They don't know where to turn to. They know the world is in terrible shape. And by the way, may I say the world's always been in terrible shape. But you and I as Christians, we don't have to go about wringing our hands as some are doing, because Jesus and God is still in control. But notice what he says there, that there were many who believed on him. In other words, they got saved. And he told these Jews, the ones who believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You see, I believe that there's a lot of confusion in churches today because people get saved and then they're not trained. They are not in the Word of God. They remain babes in Christ. They do not know the Word of God in the sense that they have not studied to show themselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed. And I believe many problems in local churches today come about because of people who have been saved and they are simply not in the Word of God. They're not being discipled. They're not being taught the Word of God. And I believe this, the biggest problem in churches today comes from the pulpit, from the pastors of these local churches. They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're not training people. They're not training the saved people who come forward and receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. And I pray that if you're in a church that does not teach you the Word of God, does not lead you along and help you to understand what God's Word is saying, and I pray that you'll find a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church that teaches and preaches the unadulterated Word of God. I use the King James Bible because I believe it is the God-breathed Word of God. He breathed the words. The King James Bible is the unadulterated Word of God. I do not believe there are any mistakes found in the book. And the sad part of it is that many Bible, so-called Bible scholars today, have got people believing who are saved. They've got them believing that they're too dumb to understand God's Word. Well, that's not true. The Spirit of God lives within us as saved people, and we do have the ability, the God-given sense, if you would, of the Holy Spirit to read and study His Word to know what He has to say to us. Well, notice back in the book of John now in chapter 8, it says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." But when a person comes to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, they have been set free. But when a person gets saved today or back then when we're reading about in the book of John, that person is still under somewhat of a bondage, let's say. They still believe, they haven't been taught the Word of God. They have not grown. They're just like a baby. That baby needs to be taught certain things as the baby grows. And as that baby grows, the baby starts understanding more and more. Well, this is the way it is with a newborn Christian, a born-again Christian who's just been saved. They need to be led along, and they need to be helped into the Word of God by older saints who have been around and studied the Word of God. The new Christian needs to be taught the things that they need to know as saved people. But you notice in that verse that we read, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." There's some Christians today who are in bondage. Oh, they've been set free from the problem of hell. They've been set free of that. They're not going to go to hell because they've trusted Jesus Christ. But they get wrapped up in things, and once again, they do not get into the Word of God, and they get confused. They go about, and I mentioned wringing of the hands a few moments ago. People will wring their hands. They simply do not know what to do. They don't know which way to turn. Now, I'm speaking to saved people. They're confused because they have not been taught the Word of God. They're not in the Word of God. Now, if you're one of those people, you need to get into the Word. Remember, Jesus Christ said that He's never going to leave you nor forsake you, and He's going to lead you into all truth. And the only way He can do that is through His Word. Now, we pray to God. We talk to God the Father. Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and man. We know that. And when you get into the Word of God, that's God speaking to you. You need to listen to what he has to say to you from his word. Now, I can tell you a lot of things, but unless it's based upon the word of God, it's worthless what I have to say to you. But what I'm speaking to you today is truth. And Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You need to give things over to God. Let God take care of your life. And quit worrying about the things of this world. Now, we can be concerned, but those things of the world that we're concerned about should not consume us. Those things of the world that we're having problems with, they should not consume us to the point of not doing the things that God would have us to do for Him. Stay true to the Lord, not to be saved, but because you are saved. And if you'll listen to Him, the Bible says the truth shall make you free. Well, after Jesus had told these people in verse 32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," they answered Him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Well, he's speaking, of course, of being made free of sin, of the sin curse, of the sin that the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But notice in verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever." Now, he's not telling these people that in order to be saved, you quit sinning. He's not telling them that. We know that that doesn't save a person. The way a person gets saved is by receiving Jesus Christ as Savior. And then what happens? Well, the Bible tells us that the blood of Christ cleanses from all sin, that the sin is not only covered, but the sin is taken away. It's as if it never existed. Jesus is trying to let these people know that once they get saved, that sin is gone. They are not to be servants of that sin, but to let Jesus Christ take that sin and get rid of it. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever." Once again, we see eternal life in this verse. The person who has never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, it's the same as being a servant. It's the same as being a religious person, but lost. A person who names God and calls God his or her father, but they've never been saved. They're not actually a child of God. The Bible says, "To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons or the children of God," the children of God, the sons of God. Once a person is truly saved by trusting Jesus Christ as Savior, they have eternal life. That verse says, "The servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever." When you become a child of God, you're always going to be a child of God. When you receive Jesus Christ as Savior, you're always a son, or as we put it, a daughter of God. You're a child of God once you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And once again, the truth has made you free because you have believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." Are you saved? You need to trust him today.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.